today we have the privilege of hearing some of our personal stories from our social action members. This group is at the heart of this congregation, and we state as our affirmation, part of our affirmation is, and service is our prayer. These are some of the people who move our ideas, passions, and thoughts to action. Before people speaking today, they will be allowed to go in whatever order they wish and introduce themselves briefly. This is going to be, you know, kind of spontaneous a little bit, especially right afterwards. We have Jane Lisey, Gladys Sharp, Tim Blaine, and Doris Dressler Clark are going to be speaking. Who's on first?
Hi, I'm Glenn Sharp, and I always feel that it's better to get right up and at it, and then you can sit down and relax. I'd like to start, though, by introducing our banner. I volunteered to make our social action banner. And it says, love yourself, help others. And this came about with the help of James Garner, because we asked for members to give us some kind of a motto or a little cliche.
That was Jim Gallagher. He would mix it up all the time.
I'm so sorry. That was our word. Tell you a little bit about our banner. Maybe some of you can't see it very well, but before the Da Vinci Code and the Holy Grail and the inverted triangle, I had designed the heart as our triangle. And if I may be so bold, if you see the two hands on the sides, that could be considered the ovaries with the apple in the middle as the seed. Nevertheless, we have the triangle coming up to its peak, and that is the light that we receive, the satisfaction, the high altitude, when we do help others. And so that's enough about that. I would like to share with you that I was instrumental in helping select the foster child that we so graciously gave $500 last year and $500 this year to further the foster child's education, and that was Natalia Unger-Levy, who was here and thanked us. And what the social action does is we try to further the idea of a former House president. That was Sue Gray. She was the one who started that idea to get the foster child program initiated. A scholarship for that program initiated. Another thing that I have done, I've not been doing it lately, but I have gone to WTLC, and since I'm a licensed esthetician, which I took up after I retired, I have given facials to the ladies who are at the home, but only after their bruises have healed do I allow myself to give them a facial. And also, the ladies there, the moms, know what sizes their children are, and they are given vouchers to go to the assistance league, which we support with our clothing and such. And I have also taken the clothing that you bring to the church, and you know, if you continue to do that, I will continue to take it. But we have to be kind of nudged a little bit. I'm always open to take clothing, toiletries, and such to these organizations. Let me see, what's my last thing? Just the fact that just wanted to let you know that I am here to distribute that to the WTLC and the assistance lady. Thanks.
My name is Doris Dressler Clark, and I'm relatively new to this church. I've been coming here approximately a year, and I believe that it was at the very first Sunday that I was here that I crashed the Social Action Committee meeting. Just said, can I come? And they said, okay. So I learned about what this church does in its social action. When Bill requested that I speak to you about my socially actioned experiences, it gave me time and pause to reflect on where it all started in my life. I saw firsthand at a very young age the change that social action can do in individuals' lives. I was born at right at the end of World War II in 1945, lived in Austria, was born to an Austrian family, and we lived in Vienna. Vienna was at that time an occupied city divided into four sectors. The Americans were very generous and very helpful in trying to rebuild a lot of Europe that had been decimated during the war. My family belonged to a little Methodist church in Vienna. Methodists are a very small minority in Vienna. Vienna is primarily a Catholic city, as Austria is a Catholic country. We have maybe 400 members in the whole city, and these two little churches. There was a sister Methodist church that we had in the United States that after the war was instrumental in sending us packages, care packages, that kind of thing, food, clothes, toys for the kids. I was a child at the time and got these wonderful toys and chewing gum and marshmallows, which were new to me, peanut butter I'd never heard of. My mother said, what is this stuff? But ballpoint pens, all kinds of and toys, all kinds of things that we really appreciated and needed. A lot of food. There was just not much in the city at that time. This was sister church in this small town in Alabama, of all places, was single-handedly instrumental in my family's emigration to the United States. It took the minister at that church about a year to get all the red tape, paperwork, and everything done for us to come here. They sponsored us. They hired my father as a minister of music at their church. My dad was a musician. He had worked in Vienna making music, playing in nightclubs, playing wherever he could, subbing in the Philharmonic. But what he really wanted to do was dedicate his life to church music, which was not possible in the Methodist church there. We didn't even have our own minister. We had an American missionary who spoke very good German and was our minister for quite some years. Anyway, this little church that brought us to the United States gave my dad a job. The community welcomed us with open arms, which in itself was kind of interesting because it was only 9 years after we, the Austrians, had been the enemy. But most of the people in that town and all of that church included us totally, taught us how to speak, taught us how to sort of be Americans, especially in the South, taught us the problems that were happening at the time, social inequalities and all that kind of thing. After my family came, then some years later, this same church sponsored two or three more Hungarian families to come to that town and start a new life. They were refugees and now live here in Yan, all over the United States. So we were not singled out as just this one family. The minister at that church, Dan Whitsett, was a huge influence on my life. He was a very ecumenical, socially conscious, aware kind of person who wasn't afraid to speak out at a time when it wasn't very easy to speak out in the South against certain issues. He was personally instrumental in a lot of changes that did come about. So as a young, very young child, I was made very well aware that social action of strangers can totally change your life. I wouldn't be standing here today, I wouldn't even be in this country if that church had not done what it did for us. It was through sheer social consciousness and action on that conscience that made a huge change for the better in our family and in my life. Today I see social action as an opportunity to emulate those people who gave so selflessly at that time to a totally strange family and to better our lives. Social action is here to make changes for the better. It's available individually, collectively, politically, personally, and it's available to us at every turn. I appreciate this church and how it affords opportunities wherever you might fit in to jump in and do what you did. I and my family were the beneficiaries of other people's social awareness, and now I'm the beneficiary of knowing what it feels like to be on the giving end, not just the receiving end. I have my pet projects that I've always done, and when I thought about what they are, I realized that they were in direct relationship to my past history. Amnesty International, for one, which I joined back in 1970 when it was just barely getting started. They try to free prisoners of conscience. In the Hitler War era, there was no social conscience. At least it couldn't be verbalized. Nothing could be, you couldn't act on anything. And you were a prisoner of conscience without being in prison. Habitat for Humanity. We received a house when we came to the United States. It's my way of being able to give back, pounding nails and doing things. I've done a couple of international trips to build homes for other people and been a little active here in Orange County and intend to be more active in the future. The Southern Poverty Law Center, I was made aware of racial issues when I moved to the South, so that's one of my support things, that it teaches tolerance for all kinds of issues. And here at this church, I've been helpful, or have at least joined Bill and Doreen, who I met at the functions for feeding the homeless at the armory shelters in the winter. I think I just jumped in feet first with that one and have really appreciated being able to do that in this community. Now, for many of my adult years, my social action took a little bit, slightly a different turn, one that you may not find familiar. I realized that social action feeds the body, it feeds the soul, and it feeds the spirit. As I mentioned, my father was a musician. He was a choir director. He was an organist. He was a composer. So I was around a lot of music growing up. I then married a musician. He is also a composer, and he's a conductor of symphonic music. Those two people, huge influences on my life, have fed me spiritually through music. Some of you have experienced music, as we do often here in church, that will spiritually move and feed us. So I've spent a lot of time in my adult life supporting good music for all people who want to hear it. I've spent the last, on a personal note again, I've spent the last 2 weeks helping a 10-day Mozart festival take place. 10 days of Mozart music every night, culminating with the Mozart Requiem, big piece for orchestra, chorus, and soloists. Everyone who heard it was appreciative. Many were moved by the music, and some were spiritually fed, as only some kinds of music can do. So that's been my little niche in social action, other than things that are normally in your mind for social action. I know I was changed by the experience that I had last Sunday night, or whenever it was that concert took place. And I know other people there who told me they were also. Social action is changing. change for the better wherever you find it.
As forthrightly as I can, and simply put, it is this: I believe God lives in each one of us and views the universe through the eyes of each individual. I believe that somehow these bodies we inhabit have either captured or been blessed with consciousness emanating from a single source. I call that source God, and the consciousness captured in our bodies are bits of God's mind. And I have absolutely no empirical proof of this. I haven't caught sight of a single source of consciousness streaking across the night sky in a telescope, nor found it wriggling beneath a slip cover under a microscope. I know it's not one of the many things that falls from jacaranda trees. And I know, too, that you can't find it canned or shrink wrapped at Ralph's. Fundamentally, I believe that we share a common source of mind, because in the best tradition of radical American pragmatism, it works for me. It does. The effect of this on my life is that I can look out at this gathering of friends and recognize Marlene and Mary and Bill, Lorraine. But I'm also seeing the eyes of God looking at me, while I watch back with the eyes of God as well. I feel compelled for some reason, probably because my blessed mother raised me this way, to help God out. It's this combination of God I see in others and God in myself that causes me to have an intense self-interest in serving others, because in a very real sense, I'm helping myself when I lend a hand in the service of others. I want the spirit of this world to see that in the struggle of life against want upon this beautiful blue and green planet, that there are those who fight against hunger and ignorance, disease and the injustice that's inflicted upon fellow man by the politically callous. I know from talking with many of you that you share my point of view, perhaps with minor, maybe major variations, and I appeal to you, indeed to all of you, to take advantage of the social action program at UU Fullerton, because as you may find, as you look in the eyes of that homeless man across from you on whose plate you've dished up macaroni or carrot, that the God you say just may be your own. Thank you. With regard to rebuilding together Orange County, you have not lived. So you have torn apart a front porch with a hammer and a crowbar. Sometimes God leads on that too.
I've been wondering the whole service what he was going to do with those two things down there. I've been so nervous. Change.
Yes, I'm coming.
Are you?
She's working on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to stand here.
Something that's very deadly.
They're not too close.
Had a wonderful story from Doris, and you had great philosophy from Jim. Here I am. This was only use a couple of minutes because I sure want Donette to get up here and tell you what she's doing. Where is Bill Pryor? Oh, back there. He said, "Would you please be our vice representative? You'll only have to go to one meeting a month, and you won't have to do very much. And Vice is Fullerton Interfaith Emergency Services. It's huge. There's so many facets to it. I sit in board meetings with my mouth hanging open because in the last 28 years they've gone from distributing a few bags of food to affecting truly millions of people because the food distribution center it does a lot more than just distribute food. They also distribute clothing vouchers, help people with rent, help people with prescriptions, give people motel vouchers, help people who just come in off the street, although they monitor everything pretty carefully. You can't just walk in and get food every day and manage to support yourself at somebody else's expense. But there's so many lives affected with that. And the Interfaith Shelter Network, we've all, not all of us, but a lot of us have contributed food on a nightly basis while people have been at a particular church, usually the temple, sometimes congregational church. Let me just point these things out so we're all talk all day. Interfaith Shelter Network probably has 12 people at a time. They go from church to church. This is the rotation list. You can all fit it to be a social hall. This is what they do and what they wish they had, their wish list. The food center, what they do, what they need, a little bit about their philosophy. This board was just developed. I think I'm the first person to use it. All these things are fastened on with Velcro, so it can be changed. We need a lot of more pictures of children, that kind of thing. We know that. This is the first go-around. But this will be at Farmers Market, Orange County Fair. Whenever they set up a service food, they can use this to explain. And it also helps people who have needs find out where they can get what they need. The middle one is the most wonderful place of all, New Vista. And how many of you have been there? Oh, great. I see a lot of hands. Okay. And you know, again, it has grown from they bought one house, they bought the house next door, they've renovated and put in a garage and built above it, and just recently they opened another whole building behind the second house they bought. So it's improved and grown, and of course it has to be staffed. Reuben is there as case manager. He actually goes to court with people sometimes. He's a wonderful young man. He's really great. Judy Bambus, I think some of you know her. And I think a couple of weeks ago I told you that it's a couple of days now she will be having major surgery because of a cancer occurrence. But those people are very instrumental in keeping this going. Again, what they do, how many days people can be there, whatever you might want to know, it's here, and their wish list is there. Now, just recently, where did I put it?
No. You got started with that. Special project. Remember the quilt?
I'm just going to show this one because I think it's so cute. This one is, this was donated by a group, a couple of women from the Lutheran church. You know, we have 20 churches involved with a lot of them. And I'm getting ready to embroider her name, Avery, on it. It'll go, maybe not tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow, down for a little girl who's just entered. And we have quilts for Elijah and Dorian, her brothers. So they will be going down. And the person who's been so helpful with the quilts has been Vanessa. She's really involved our girls, our younger girls in this. And I'm going to ask her to talk about that. And that's all I'm going to say. I'll see you in the social hall.
I don't think that Jane really took enough credit. Jane has started a new program called Quilts for Kids for these children who come into the Transitional Living Center. And her goal is that every child who comes in there will receive one quilt. So she talked to me about this, and as most of you know, I'm a quilter, so this was a natural fit for me. The idea is to make a lot of small quilts, like the one you saw, relatively simple, and then we give them to Jane, and then Jane gives them and distributes them as the children come in. Now, Leslie Mahaffey had a fabulous idea, which was that we should involve our teens in this social action project. So she organized and told them about it. I think we have 6 girls who have signed up to do this. So last month, we went shopping. First of all, the girls sold cookies and whatever here at a service, and they raised the money to buy their own fabric to make these quilts. We went to a big, huge fabric outlet place, and they came along, and they learned how to pick fabric to make a nice quilt. All of that fabric has been washed and ironed and cut and ready to go, and they're coming over to my house on the 22nd of July. All day event, and I am teaching them how to make a quilt in exchange for that their first quilt is, of course, given to the Transitional Living Center. So we needed the simplest possible pattern, which this is. So this is a sample that I put together for them. This is what they will be making. They've all chosen their own fabric, so every single quilt will look completely different, but basically the same idea. So we're hoping that the following day, Sunday the 23rd, these will be finished. We're hoping we can do this in one day. And if so, they're going to bring them to church so that everyone can see them. We want them to get a lot of attention from the congregation for this, because they will not be able to distribute them at the Transitional Center themselves. So they won't be able to get that feedback. If they enjoy this, then hopefully they will want to make another one. And if they do, we will have a second class. Now, I would like to put this opportunity out to anyone else, male or female, in this congregation who's always wanted to learn how to make a quilt and has never gotten around to it. I am willing to teach anyone how to make a quilt. I will go shopping with you for fabric. You can use my sewing room and machine, with the one stipulation that the quilt that you make, the first one, will be donated to the Transitional Living Center. You can make something more complicated than this. This is pretty basic for kids, but, all right? Thanks.
Thank you, all of you. Don S.
Can that be taught to someone who's completely not talented?
Yes. All you have to be able to do is sew in a straight line. If you can sew on a machine in a straight line, you can make this.
I failed that class. I seriously took it to college and failed it. We have a few minutes for a very brief statement from our congregation of people who are interested in sharing with us their social action here.
Margie Taylor. Well, I've been active in a food bank for a number of years, and I find that the feeling I get there when I watch these homeless people come in and I give out food is, God, I'm lucky. I go home to a full refrigerator, and I can't imagine it not being there. These people don't have a refrigerator, and they get, supposedly, they get enough food to last them a month. They're only allowed to come once a month. It's never quite enough. The other thing I wanted to mention was the literacy program. I can't imagine what it would be like not to be able to read. How do you even function without being able to read? Almost every library has a literacy program. I became involved with the one in Pomona, and I met weekly with a couple of people to start them on the road to be able to read. The woman I was working with did enough that she was able to get a job and function that way to help her family. The man I was working with, I'm not sure that he got that much out of it, but it's a wonderful, wonderful program.
Thank you.
Just add my thing. I had a couple of notes. First of all, Glenn Sharp was talking about the WTLC, and that's the Women's Transitional Living Center. For those of you who don't know, it's a place where abused women can go with their kids, if need be, to receive help and care and recovery. Secondly, the Warren Transitional Living Center. This is also a place where people who are having a bad time can go and hopefully get a new start on life. A couple or a woman with kids can go there and be there for a while. They can live either rent-free or very cheaply. They get help with food. They can get back in, such as an economic life again with a job, and sort of continue or upgrade their lives. It has been very useful for a lot of people over the years. And finally, I used to be with the Social Action Committee, I'm not anymore, but I was trying to see if I could get the committee to be a little broader, and I've been interested in the situation in Darfur. And I realize that's one hell of a leap from the strictly local stuff that we've been doing. Not everyone apparently agrees with it, but I still think it'd be a good idea, but others may not. But anyway, if the committee does listen to whoever comes and weighs seriously whatever is being said, so if you think you might be interested, hey, good.
I think with that opportunity to talk to people in a social action meeting, take place. Does anybody know? When could it possibly be? 12 o'clock today in this room. I'd just like to give appreciation for working at the Armory during the winter. For me, this is kind of a new experience. I've always had intentions that way, but to actually do that and to talk to these people, to be able to have a conversation with somebody that I was afraid of, you know, that's really, really big. And one way that you can help is when you go on your trips this summer, if you don't use all of the shampoos and the things, we distribute those, and you'd be surprised what a difference it makes for them to be able to take a shower and to clean up. And to have these supplies is really, really helpful.
I'll take two more people and we can close our service today. It is really important to go see the things that we go to. I mean, I would not understand their visit had I not been there and seen it, and seen the rooms and seen what's being done in the organization. It means something more to me by having walked in that room and looked around at the people working and seeing what they do. When they talk about it up here, it's a vision in my mind, so I have much more of a connection to it. Go and look at the things that we do.
there's no obligation. Look, I'm Ruthie Steiner, and I've been a counselor most of my life, a therapist. I work in a women's center, too. I work in a women's center in Orange called Mariposa, and a lot of women come there for recovery from alcohol and drug problems. And my goal is to find that part of them that wants to change and to hook into it. People call sometimes, just voices over the phone, and I'm really intrigued by whether they'll show up and whether this will be the call that will make a difference in their lives. And another challenge right now is that I need to be a fundraiser because Mariposa has the problem of trying to survive. So I'm working on a new phase of my abilities. And another phase is that we are part of a collaboration to outreach to women in who are homeless and who also need recovery services to involve them in coming into our program 2 times a week to get the support to work on their sobriety and to stay sober. That's a real challenge. So I notice a lot of people have been working with homeless people. And if you have any insights or advice, I'd be really interested. And we do need an outreach worker at Mariposa to bring women to our program, people who are homeless and who need our services. So if you know anybody who's comfortable in that area and good with people in terms of motivating them to join something and to trust some place, we'd be really interested. We're known around the county for really joining with women who come. We have counselors who really value that relationship with a client, and we believe that part of what keeps somebody in recovery is the relationship that they have with themselves and with their counselor. The very next hand I saw was Jim's, and that's the last one. We're afraid we're really over time.
Currently, I'm distributing surplus magazines that Ron and Brian brings that the congregation doesn't pick up. I've been active in the social action things for the Armory. I have an intimate knowledge of some of the nonprofits here. I've done free street theater, anti-war protests. I organized a group, prisoner visitation. There's so many things that are available out there in the world, and it's a shame that we ignore the obvious needs within our immediate society.
I'm done. I quit.
Thank you, everyone, for this service. It really is inspiring to see what people do and to know. I mean, there's so many things out there to do, but what we do is so important. To us personally, to obviously to the people outside of us that get our help and our time and our effort. The closing words, I have to start with that. Go out into the highways and byways. Give the people something of your new vision. You made them as a small light, but uncover it, let it shine. Use it in order to bring more life and understanding to the hearts and minds of men and women. Give them not hell, but hope and courage. Preach the kindness and everlasting love of God.